fantastic. So we're starting a new series called Leave No Doubt. Leave No Doubt. And I want us to go through a series and talk about people in the Bible who stepped out in faith and they saw God show up in a way that it left no doubt as to who he was. I want to look at situations where the Lord moved in a mighty way and it left no doubt as to who he was. And so we're starting a series called Leave No Doubt. In order to do that, we need to go to John 11. We need to go to John 11. So if you can, open up your Bibles, or maybe you got the Bible app, or maybe you're just impressive and you've got John 11 memorized. Praise to the Lord. I don't. I've got it here in my notes. So I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I'm going to attempt to have my shortest message ever today. And if you've been here more than 1 week, you have your doubts. Fair. What if I told you I'm going to attempt to cover 44 verses of Scripture in my shortest time ever? Now you've got your doubts. Some of you are like, I don't bet, but I'm calling Vegas. It's not happening. I know Phil. I know he's a storyteller. Not going to happen. Let's see where the chips fall where they may. John 11, let's go. I'm on a clock. So John 11, verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. And if you're like me, you're like, wait a minute. Time out. That's not adding up real quick. Verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so then it said he went immediately to them, right? No, it says he waited 2 more days. What? Like, if we're honest with ourselves, that scripture seems to be at a loss for each other. That doesn't add up. That doesn't make sense. If Jesus really loved them, if verse 5 is really true, then verse 6 would say something different. It would say Jesus threw open the door. They'd left their coats and money behind. They immediately went to him because he said, this sickness won't end in death. But no, verse 6 says, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. And I want to remind us that God's foresight is clearer than our hindsight. Verse 4 says, when Jesus heard this, his sickness will not end in death, but it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Verse 8, but Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by the world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. Time out. Because remember what verse 4 said? Jesus boldly says, this sickness will not end in death. This sickness will not end in death. But what is verse 13 tell us? Jesus had been speaking of his death. What? And now, at this point, you're starting to question the scripture. Like, is Jesus off his rocker? First, he loves them. Then he waits 2 days. Jesus says that this isn't going to end in death, but now he's telling us that he's dead. I've got some questions. Is Jesus really who he says he is? Can Jesus really do the things he says he does? Is Jesus really the person we thought he was? Because in verse 4, he says, this isn't going to end in death. But then, just a couple verses later, he says, I'm speaking of his death. Verse 14, so then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And then watch what he says in verse 15. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. What? What? Like, this story is making no sense if you're actually reading it like you're there, you're listening. First, Jesus tells his disciples, hey, he's not going to die. This thing's not ending in death. I've got this. And then he's telling them plainly, oh, by the way, Lazarus is dead. Let's go to him now. I mean, you've got a question at this point. Why did we wait 2 days? Why did we wait 2 days? Jesus, I know you care about him. Why are we waiting? Why is this about your glory? What is going on? How is he dead? But see, he reveals clues along the way about what he's doing. He says things that at first seem insulting, seem callous. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there. Some of us would have tuned out at that point. That's rude. That's disrespectful. You're cold, Jesus. You're not who I thought you were. I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. Let us go to him. Verse 16, then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go so that we may die with him. Thanks for the encouragement, Thomas. You've always been a source of joy in our group. Now, Thomas is the guy that if you have a dinner party, he's like the last person you want to invite. You're like, y'all having a good time. And everyone's like, man, the food's great. And Thomas is like, my stomach hurts. I think I've got food poisoning. You know what I'm saying? Like, Thomas is just a drag. It's the worst. But here we come out. All right, let's go with Jesus. He's going to get us stoned. Cool. And so they set off. And but here's the thing is, verse 16 is we can make jokes and that's fun, but verse 16 is actually incredibly revealing. It's actually incredibly revealing in the context, especially of verses 1 through 16, because it reveals that there's two different playing fields that exist right now. There's two different playing fields that exist. You see, Jesus is saying things like, this is for God's glory. This won't end in his death. I'm glad I wasn't there so that you may believe. But everybody else, the disciples, are saying, oh my gosh, if we go back, we're going to die. Mary, Martha are saying things like, Jesus, come, he's sick, we need you. Lazarus is saying things like, I'm sick, I need you, Jesus. There's a group of people, they see the situation and the impacts of it. And then there's Jesus on a completely different playing field. Unfazed by the situation, saying things like, I'm glad this is happening, because now you'll believe. Saying things like, this is for God's glory, when no one else sees it. They don't get it. Verse 17. Jesus, on his arrival, found that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. The faith in this woman. That they've buried him, they've had the funeral, he's been in the tomb for 4 days, and she shows up and she lets Jesus have it. You can tell she's frustrated, she's hurt, she's grieving, she lets Jesus have it. But after all that, she says, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. In spite of her grief, her frustration, and her hurt, she still believes. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus looks at her after she's buried her brother, after she's grieving, she's hurting, she's frustrated, and he goes, I am the resurrection and the life. What? That is some bold words to look at your friend who you claimed in verse 5 that you love. You didn't show up, and now she's had to bury her brother who you also loved, and you say, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? He doesn't even say anything when she goes off about, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. He doesn't even entertain that. He's fine with that. He goes through everything, and at the end of it, he goes, in spite of everything that's happened, do you still believe? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You can sense the frustration, the heartbreak, the grieving that they are going through after having to bury their brother, but also know that Jesus didn't show up. And they just let him have it. Jesus, if you had been on time, this wouldn't have happened. Jesus, if you had shown up when I needed you, this would not have happened. But remember earlier, we discovered that Jesus is on a different playing field than everyone else. Jesus is seeing this situation differently than everyone else. You see, Jesus believes that he is very much on time. Jesus believes that he is very much on time. Remember, he said things like, for your sake, I'm glad I was not there. And so Jesus has Martha lay into him, and he has Mary lay into him, because he wasn't on time in their perspective. But Jesus is on time from his perspective. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. One of the shortest verses in the whole Bible. Jesus wept. Some of you may have joined in online today or in the building, and you're hurting and you're grieving and you're wondering, where was Jesus? How did we get here? What has happened? And I want you to read verse 35 and realize the one we've come to worship wept. He was not unable to empathize with what Mary and Martha and the Jews were going through. He shows up and understands their frustration, their grieving, and their hurt, and he weeps with them. Remember in verse 5, he told us that he loves Mary, he loves Martha, he loves Lazarus. And he shows up and he weeps with them. Verse 36, then the Jew said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. And he said, "Take away the stone." What? Like, this is one of the moments in life where there had to be an audible gasp. The audacity, the callousness, the lack of concern. You've just wept with us and then you want us to take the stone away? We put that stone there, Jesus, at the funeral you weren't at. We had to bury him behind that stone, Jesus, because you weren't on time. And then you show up and tell us to take the stone away? Who do you think you are? And see, I think this moment gets lost on us because we don't bury people in caves anymore. I want you to picture this. You know that Jesus loves you and your family. And your brother gets sick. And you just go, man, if Jesus shows up, I know he can heal. I know he can change this. Jesus loves us, and I know he's going to heal my brother. And then Jesus doesn't show up. And then you have to bury your brother. And you have a funeral, and Jesus still doesn't even show up for the funeral. And then 4 days later, Jesus and his crew show up, and you lay into him because you're hurting and you're frustrated and you're grieving. And you tell him, Jesus, if you had just been here, this wouldn't have happened. And then he weeps with you. And then he says, take me to the gravesite. And you think you're showing up there because he missed the funeral. And he feels bad about not being on time. And after weeping with you, you and your family and the disciples go out to the gravesite. And he looks at you guys and he says, dig up the casket. What? The audacity. How would you respond after all your frustration and Jesus says, dig up the casket? The same one that Jesus wasn't there when you buried him. It's outrageous. It's unheard of. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been in there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So why are these people here? Why are these people here? Are they all around this tomb right now because something's dead? Are they all around this tomb for a funeral? Are they all around this tomb to grieve? Because remember, there's two different playing fields that exist right now. There's the disciples there who think they're there to be stoned to death for following Jesus back to this area. There's the Jews who are there because they followed Mary thinking she was going back to mourn. There's Martha there who believes that there's a teacher and God will still give Jesus whatever he asks for. There's all these people who are there to mourn and grieve, and then there's Jesus who's walked up here. He's taken their frustration and their grief and their hurt, and he's walked up believing that he's right on time. He believes he's there because God's on the move. And maybe you've tuned in today online, or you've walked in here in the building today, and you wonder, is Vertical Church dead? Is Vertical Church done? Verse 41. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! That moment, you had to think he was completely insane. You buried the man 4 days ago. You humored Jesus maybe by rolling the stone away, and now he's calling out to a man you buried 4 days ago, and he calls out, Lazarus, come out. And you're thinking, this guy's gotten into some weed. He's smoking crack. He is absolutely insane. And before you can finish more thoughts, the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Jesus knew how to drop the microphone. Jesus had some swagger. Jesus also in that moment left no doubt as to who he is. Jesus didn't just say things like, I am the resurrection and the life. You could have asked Lazarus after this moment if he felt like Jesus was true on that statement. Jesus said things like, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said things like, take away the stone. Jesus showed up and everybody else thought dead things are the final word. Jesus shows up and says, no. Dead things do not tell me how it's going to go. I get the final word because I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus left no doubt as to who he was that day. And there was a group of people at that tomb who showed up and they were hurting and they were grieving, but they still saw God move. I want us to turn off the lights right now. Tech team, you come on out here. If you're watching online, I want you to turn off the lights and turn on the light of your phone or your flashlight. And I want you to hold up the glow stick if you're in the building. And I want you to look around. And maybe you came in wondering, is Vertical Church dead? Are we done? And I want to remind you that Vertical Church is a group of people that came together to honor and worship a man who said, I am the resurrection and the life. I want you to remind yourself that you came together with a group of people today that came to worship a man that said, roll that stone. I want you to remind yourself that Vertical Church has, is, and always will be about a group of people coming together who want to leave no doubt that Jesus is of the greatest value. Vertical Church is not one person. We are a group of people for one person. And his name is Jesus. And he didn't just say things like, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is here with us now today saying that same phrase rings true. I am the resurrection and the life. I still say, roll that stone. And so you may have walked in here today wondering, is Vertical Church dead? And Vertical Church will never die as long as there's a group of people who are willing to get together and say, we worship the one who is the resurrection, who is the life, who says things like, roll that stone. So you may have wondered that today, and then I want you to look around. Vertical Church is not dead, and we will never die as long as there's a group of people willing to leave no doubt that Jesus is of the greatest value. So, Lord, we come to worship you. We don't need a word from Philip. We need a word from you, Jesus. So we ask that you continue to meet with us. We ask that you continue to move in our lives and heart. We ask, Lord, that you will use us as a collective group of people to leave no doubt that you are of the greatest value. We pray, Jesus, that you will use us, work through us, to leave no doubt that you are the resurrection, you are the life, and that stones still roll. We love you, Jesus. This is all for you.